Okay, let's get into it. Today, we are doing a deep dive into what is basically the rule book for government teamwork in South Africa. It's the Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act, number 13 of 2005.
And this is so much more than just a dry legal document. This is really the roadmap for how national, provincial, and local governments are supposed to interact.
Supposed to, yes.
Yeah.
How they must talk to each other, coordinate, and crucially, resolve their conflicts.
Exactly. And you see why it's so necessary right from the preamble. It says the spheres of government are distinctive, interdependent, and interrelated.
Meaning they can't just operate in their own little silos.
Not at all. And what's really fascinating is that the act is designed to support the country's role as a, quote, developmental state.
Right, a state that actively steps in to fix big social problems.
Yes, and to tackle the huge legacies of apartheid, poverty, underdevelopment. You just can't do that without integrated action. You need everyone pulling in the same direction.
So it's about forced coordination, not just a polite suggestion to get along. That seems to be the main object of the act.
It is. The goal is coherent government, the effective provision of services, and, making sure national priorities are actually realized.
It's a mechanism to force that alignment.
And to achieve that, the system relies on some very specific, formalized structures. The big one at the top is the President's Coordinating Council, the
Okay.
PCC.
The PCC. And this is where you really see the power center, right?
Yeah.
It's chaired by the president, and it includes the deputy president, key cabinet members like finance and public service, all nine premiers.
And even a representative from organized local government. It's the top table.
If you want to know where the big national strategy gets discussed, that's the room.
It is, but here's the important question. What power does it actually have? The Act calls it a consultative forum.
Consultative forum. So the president uses it to consult with the provinces and local government on policy, on priorities.
Right. It sets the agenda, but it's not a body that issues executive orders down to the provinces.
I see. So the president is the ultimate coordinator. And then beneath that top tier, there's a whole other structure,
A whole tiered structure. You have national intergovernmental forums.
which is where the existing MINMEX come in. And for anyone listening, MINMEX are these crucial meetings where, say, the National Minister of Health meets with all nine provincial health MECs.
Exactly. To align policy for a specific sector.
And then you go down another level.
Then you have the Premier's Intergovernmental Forums, which are all about the coordination between a province and all the local governments within it.
So it's designed to cascade all the way down, but a structure only works if people follow the rules. What about conduct?
That's where things like the implementation protocols are so important.
Okay, what are those?
We'll think about a big project like building water infrastructure. It might involve national funding, provincial oversight, and local implementation.
So multiple spheres of government.
Precisely. The Act says you can't just have a handshake agreement. You need a formal written protocol laying out who does what.
And what happens when things go wrong? Because, conflict is inevitable.
That's maybe the most interesting part. Chapter 4 establishes an absolute duty to avoid intergovernmental disputes.
A duty, so it actively discourages them from running to the courts.
It demands it. You can't just sue the other sphere of government. If there's a formal dispute, the parties are legally required to meet.
To meet in what?
To agree on a non-judicial way to settle it, they have to find a facilitator. Only after all of that fails can the issue even go near a court.
It's basically mediation or nothing.
Pretty much. So when you pull back, you see this comprehensive legal blueprint for mandatory consultation. It's exhaustive on the how.
But here's the real kicker, the final thought to leave with you. Section 32 of the Act explicitly states that all these structures, even the powerful PCC,
Are forums for intergovernmental consultation and discussion.
they are not executive decision-making bodies. They make recommendations, they consult.
Which leaves us with a really provocative question, doesn't it? What has to happen politically for those legally mandated resolutions to actually translate into real unified action on the ground?
Something to think about. That's all the time we have. Until our next deep dive.